Well, one of my the things that I've prayed is that today would be especially refreshing and encouraging to you as you share together from the Word and just pray together. From what I've heard from several, it has been that, and I hope it's been that way for many of you. It's very interesting. Terry had asked the USLT members to get some time with the Lord before our meeting in September, just to seek the mind of God for the work. And when we met together and began sharing, I think Terry asked me to begin, and so I began just drawing from my notes. And Bob Sheffield looked over and he said, "You're reading my notes." And even though we had been in very different passages, it seemed like God had given certain common things among us that He spoke to us about. So when we thought about this conference, we thought, I wonder if there's any way that God might have something to say to all of us by speaking to us individually. And He may or may not do that. We have no idea. We simply wanted to give the Holy Spirit a chance to speak. And it's interesting, in Acts 13 seems to indicate to me that it was not just a one-time event where the leaders of the church were together waiting on God when He spoke, but more illustrative of times when they were waiting upon God and He gave direction. And my own experience in Korea was interesting. My first assignment was to San Diego with military work. My supervisor was Rod Sargent, who was the U.S. director here in Colorado Springs. And then I went to Korea, and for the first year in Korea, Rod Sargent, the U.S. director, continued to be my supervisor. And then Leroy Imes, as the U.S. director, became my supervisor. And so you know how often I saw them. And consequently, in that sense of isolation, I would begin to wonder sometimes as I was initiating something in the ministry or thinking along different lines, Lord, am I tracking anywhere near where the navigators are? I mean, am I really a navigator or am I something else? And then I'd get some communication from like the Lawrence Deerstaff, or Waldron Scott might pass through to check the Korean work, and we'd get a little bit of time together. And God would confirm to me that what He had put in my heart was what He was putting in the hearts of the leadership, and encourage me to know that He is the Lord, the sovereign Lord of this organization and of those of us that are part of it, and that He can direct us corporately whether we communicate or not with one another, and keep us on course. And it was a great lesson for me in discovering the sovereign direction and control of God in my life and in the direction of the organization. Very encouraging. And so what we really wanted to do is just listen. Does God have anything to say? And the only way we could know that is to listen to what you had to say. So the plan today, by the way, what we're really after is a top-down decision, if there is one, not from the USLT, but from God. And since He is our Lord, if He has something to say, we want to respond to that. And it seemed the way to approach this today is simply ask each group leader to share from their group, did any common themes arise from your group, and for us to listen and say, has God spoken to all of us in some fashion where there's a common theme that has emerged, or is it perhaps that God spoke to the USLT regarding things they need to deal with, and He has spoken to a variety of groups regarding things they need to deal with? We don't know. And so the only way we can find that out is to have you share. And so I think if we just start with Bob over here and just go right down the line and have you share a little bit of the tone and general sense of the time and then whether or not anything seemed to be a common thread in your group time. We'll listen, and then I'd like you all to respond and say, what do you hear? Okay, Ron?
You want me to do that from here or up there, here or what?
Whatever's convenient for you.
We had a great time. The bulk of our conversation dealt with sin and sorrow everywhere, people dying, a lot of confession. But I would say without a doubt that God is really at work in this whole emphasis on renewal or revitalizing of our personal lives. And, of course, it's to a greater degree with some and a lesser degree with others. And we had some very honest sharing. Some of us shared that it had been a long time between those extended times with the Lord to others who are regular practices of that particular thing. And yet, without a doubt, even those who are practicing felt that this should be the focus and to continue to really meet God personally. Will have the greatest impact not only on our own lives, but also, of course, on the work. So the renewal and revitalizing would be the number one issue that was, without a doubt, a common thread. The second issue that seemed to continue to pop up, again, not necessarily with everyone, but I think was a little bit of a thread through our discussions, was the whole idea of godly shepherding versus management by objectives or whatever term you want to throw in there. The whole idea of relational shepherding, not organizational shepherding. And I think you know what I mean by that, that you know, just because we put a guy in charge of some staff, in a sense he becomes a shepherd, but it's an organizational shepherding. He feels that responsibility handed to him, whereas he hasn't really established and developed the relational aspect of that. And then a third thing that was only shared by one person, but it confirmed a very strong prejudice that I have, and therefore I'm going to take the liberty to make that one of our group's proposals.
Were you the one person?
Quiet. And I think we'd probably all agree with it that while we're all very excited about this personal renewal and the effects that that can have on our lives individually and corporately, that we probably need to see this manifest itself in some kind of outreach to the nations. And so there was, and it struck a very real chord in my own life that. That if this thing is genuine and if it's real, are we on the brink of or in the process of seeing some real outpouring toward the nations? And if it is real renewal and revival, it seems to me that it may bust us loose from some of the chains and the bondage that we sometimes have gotten ourselves into and really see an outpouring in terms of our missionary endeavor. So that would be a third issue that was discussed somewhat in our group.
Okay, somewhat. Okay, Rod?
Our group was made up of the flock fleecers. And we had a very refreshing and delightful time. We began by reviewing a few of the prayer requests that we had shared last night for Luke out in Singapore, etc. And all of a sudden, after we had been praying and finished our praying, all of a sudden it was 9:30 and time for coffee. So we did first things first. We had our coffee break. Then when we got back together, as we shared, we did not have a common thread. It was obvious that though that the Lord had spoken to each of the men in the group along personal lines, about their personal walk with God. One of them summarized his as a heart for God. not allowing himself to become too comfortable, and making sure that he multiplied his life through the ministry, that when the Lord took him home, there would be some laborers here on this planet that were carrying on the vision that he felt called to the Navigators to help fulfill. Another one of the men felt that the Lord had been speaking to him about what he called the issue of covenants. And he equated this with promise claiming. And in his reading, he felt that many revivals were preceded by covenants that men made with God, and that this was a very important part of the whole process. He also felt the Lord had been laying on his heart Deuteronomy 4:9, I think it is, or 4:9, which deals, I believe, with promise claiming. Anyway, he equated the two and felt that much of what we see in the ministry of the Navigators today was a result of the promises and the covenants that God had made with Dawson. Oh, 4:9 has to do with remembering. And that God had been speaking to his heart about remembering some of these promises. And that God is going to fulfill them, but that one of our responsibilities is to understand them and to remember them and to look to God to fulfill them. The other fellows shared along different lines, but it all had to do with walking with the Lord, renewal, commitment to the Word and to prayer. And we just had a super time.
Good. Jack, how about CDM?
Yeah. Super time. That would describe our time. One of the common themes that went through almost everyone that spoke, not everybody, but just about, was what we finally summarized as a renewed emphasis on personal evangelism. Okay?
Yep.
Something's working. And at a certain point in our conversation, we got into some rather interesting stories that were being told. I won't repeat all of them. But one of the guys was telling about a friend of his on the Navigator staff who has been around for years and who has a real gift in evangelism, no question about it. And he related a couple of incidents that he had had with this man, and one conversation in particular where this fellow had related to him that at one point in his life, God did something very deep and meaningful in relation to evangelism. He said, "I don't understand it. It had something to do with love, loving people." And he said, from that point on, and this, I think, is almost a direct quote, "It was almost as though if I had enough time with a person to talk to them about Christ, it was inevitable that they would come to know the Savior." The man was not bragging. He was just saying what God had done in his life. And we had a very open and frank and interesting discussion on that whole subject. A second
theme that we summarized that, again, ran through almost everyone's comments was what we summarized as a commitment to continue to make the promises of God foundational for our lives and our ministry, underlining the promises of God. Now, of course, that's nothing new to Navigators, but nevertheless, it was a theme that God had spoken to a number of us about. And then the third thing had to do with what Chef started off by mentioning. Many of us are going through, have gone through recently, or are going through now, some difficult times, some deep water, some things that God is putting us through, trials. We are experiencing the real onslaughts of the enemy.
in terms of spiritual warfare. We know that we are in a battle. And this came out in the part of a number of guys, and the way they had handled it and what their response to that was. And we summarized that common thread as, in the midst of the spiritual warfare and personal trials, to maintain two things: a growing depth of relationship with God, and secondly, a walk blameless before God and man. And the first part, just deepening our own relationship with the Lord day after day after day. The idea of blameless, of dealing honestly before the Lord and ourselves with sin, with areas of weakness, with things that we can tend to overlook in our lives. And so those were the three things: a renewal, renewed emphasis in personal evangelism, continuing to make the promises of God foundational, and then growing depth in the midst of the battle and a blameless life.
Thanks, Chad. Paul, let's start down with you.
Okay, as we talked and shared it, it was an excellent time, I think, as all of us. I think it's exciting just to do more and more of that. I think our basic three categories of sharing became clear. One was the personal life of our staff, and under the personal life was an emphasis on God is our focus and motivation, must be, and not the vision or the ministry. And our drive should be to please Him and not to please the organization or anything else that would step in the way of that. Earlier we had spoken of the idea of modeling, but not just modeling a ministry, but talking about modeling in the spiritual life. Not necessarily, we're talking about depth, talking about not preaching the vision, but modeling it, a hunger for the Word and getting into it. Comments were made, a little jealousy was expressed about Terry's 7 to 10 hours, the 3 hours in the morning, you know, that hearing that, the commitment. And that's a kind of pace setting that Terry's is sharing his heart on, that's stimulating. Not talking about it, but it's obvious just from his messages that it's there. Something's happening in Terry's life. And you don't need to tell anybody to get into the Word when somebody keeps doing that. And we need to be more of that. Several of the guys said that's what attracted them to the Navigators. That godly life, the Christ-centered home, the spiritual priorities in their life, looking to God and lifestyle really represents some of this commitment of sacrifice, commitment to reach the lost. That kind of heartbeat is what we discussed yesterday, as well as it came out again today. We need to be men of the book to know it, men and women of the book, but also have an intimacy with the author of the book. Not just knowledge, but in the way we're going, particularly as our country becomes more and more secularized, we've got to be men and women of the book, but don't miss the intimacy with the author. A comment was made about honesty and openness, honest with ourselves, as Terry was bringing out the other day, was footnoted from his first message. Regarding the organization, a few comments were made regarding waiting on God, not hurrying. That there's nothing wrong with waiting. As a matter of fact, there are promises to waiting. Isaiah 40:31 was brought out too, that those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And also Zechariah 4:6, not by might, my power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. We need to just take that to heart and just believe God for that. Another comment was made about relying on God's power, not our own techniques and ability and access to the body of Christ and all the experience we have, but to rely on our own I rely on God's power. Let's seek God's power work in situation. Isaiah 40, verse 10 was shared. The sovereign Lord comes with power. The other was emphasis on our goal needs to be in his name, his kingdom, and his will, taken from the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6. That ought to be our goal, not our name, but only his, and have a righteous indignation the way God's name is being handled today, and get excited about the kingdom, not just the navigators, and grieve when Campus Crusade doesn't do well on something rather than kind of smirk because we had a better answer, and grieve when churches aren't doing it rather than kind of criticizing them. But get in there and have a kingdom view, and the same with his will. Just have a commitment to do his will. And God's job is to reveal his will. Ours is to obey. So we don't need to do God's job and try to push ahead with a plan. Let him reveal it in his time. Two cautions were mentioned. That was the other category. A caution. One is pride. Be very careful of pride. God has given us much. We do have a lot of qualified and gifted staff. We do have relationships. We do know what we're doing. We are, someone call us technicians. We really know how to do the ministry extremely well. But pride could be the destroyer in this. And the last was bureaucratic momentum. Cautious there. That because of there needs to be a sense of movement, and because the bureaucracy or the organization that we have created needs to keep moving and growing, therefore we're forced to come up with a plan and come up with something and do something rather than waiting on God and looking to God. So that was just a caution.
Okay, thanks, Paul. Ray, how about the central division?
Okay.
Should I put it a little lower?
As low as you can get it, Paul. I saw those, I don't know if you noticed them yesterday morning, those microphones that were up in the air when we came in yesterday morning. They were up there, and I was wondering where the stepladders for Daryl Sanders and me to get up there, but I noticed they've removed them. We ended at about 4:15, and we were not finished, but we ended anyway out of courtesy of coming down here, but we were having such a rich time we could have gone on. And it was one of those times when I think the process was just as rich as the product of what was shared. And I think it was very interesting also that what the individuals in the group shared had more to do with what God was saying to them personally and for their responsibility than to come out, I've got a word from God for the navigators corporately. But as we listened to the sharing, we tried to see, were there any threads? Was there any repetitive thought? Was there anything here that we feel that as we listen to this person, this is the word for us in the division or for us in the navigators corporately? And since we ended at 4:15, I told the group, well, I have to make up the summary. And if someone from our group didn't agree, I told him they had the liberty to stand and say, I don't agree with what he said. However, much has been said and shared already that is very, very similar. Some of the thoughts as we listened had to do with a need for reevaluation of our personal values and personal motivation. What is it that motivates us? What are our values that we esteem? Are we becoming a little too materialistic, too comfortable? Another thought had to do with, and many of these are related. In fact, the first four you'll see quite related to the whole issue of personal renewal and revival, but commitment to personal godliness and holiness, to focusing on that. Related to that is a focus on God, his person, his glory, his power, relying on the power of the Holy Spirit and not on our own abilities or the systems or the programs that we have developed. A fourth thing has to do with deepening in our prayer life. And than to be ministers of the word, not just students of the word. Acts 6:4 says we must give ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word, to make sure we're ministering the word. Provide quality biblical shepherding. Genuine caring for people in a biblical way. Another thought had to do with creating an environment for believing God and for developing a consuming vision, cultivating that consuming vision, but also creating that environment where that is really a virtue, believing God and having a consuming vision. Related to that, stress in our staff training that being godly and believing God are highest virtues, more important than technical ministry proficiency. That what the interns are hearing, what the new staff are hearing is, more than anything else when they leave, is the importance of being godly and of believing God. Not that we would throw out the others, but that what they leave with is those emphases. And the thought also of giving ourselves to serving. Serve and let God work. 2 Corinthians, is it 4:5? For what we preach is not ourselves, but Christ Jesus, Lord, is, and ourselves, your servants, for Jesus' sake.
Hey, thanks, Ray. Steve?
It's a happy kitchen crew.
It's okay. It's our immigrant.
Give me a little background music, Steve. You sing yours.
Isn't that pretty? We had an absolutely fantastic time together. In fact, we commented that we ought to do that more often to really get a pulse beat of what God is doing in our individual lives. And two main areas surfaced and a number of sub-points under those. But the first area I would summarize by saying the whole aspect of waiting on God was a thread through our time. And waiting on God being being very active, not a passive thing of sitting back and doing nothing, but looking to Him expectantly, believing God, looking to Him to work. And along with that, just our having a lifestyle of absolute dependence upon the Lord, humbling ourselves before God, a commitment to prayer, And again, it was mentioned several times that people thought we ought to be doing this kind of thing of taking a 24-hour period alone with the Lord on a monthly basis. Once a month, do that, and having that extended time away with Him. One of the things that came up along the lines of prayer, the whole aspect that the work in our office, for instance, with the ESA and NAV Press particularly, as well as Eagle Lake and the Glen, but the work is so susceptible to the attack of Satan. And we, in fact, discussed a number of things that have gone wrong, not so much in areas dealing with knowledge or expertise, but things that the devil is just very intent on getting a hold on. And he desires to bring division and discord, and it makes it even rougher when we are forced to hire people from in town with no NAV background and try to bring them along. And we just talked about the need to go to our knees, and we have got to pray and pray and pray and ask God to bind the enemy and deliver us from the attacks of Satan. And that was, I feel like, very good to discuss, and it's something that we do have to give ourselves to. Then the whole aspect, too, along the lines of waiting on God, focusing on Jesus and growing in our fear, our reverence of God, and just putting the focus there. Now, the second area we called caring for people, and I suppose this will work into the whole aspect of shepherding, but that being a caring style of leadership, not just caring about their job or what they're doing, but focusing on the person and the individual. Also, not just helping those who are hurting, but making it a point to affirm those who are doing well. And sort of preventive medicine, but affirmation. We discussed at some length how you do that. How do you affirm someone who is doing well and doesn't need to be picked up off the floor, but they are doing okay, and had a very good time in that. And then we talked about just the whole aspect of relating to one another, and it went back to Donald's comment, I believe, in the task force issues, where he called it relational emptiness, of our making it a point to stress relationships with one another. Then the rich time up until about noon, I guess up to noon, about two people had shared, but just out of the time, interaction and personal applications, things that God did in a very supernatural way from that 24-hour period alone with the Lord, just how God met with individuals and how he did special things through that time. So very, very encouraging and very positive to have the chance to interact over that.
Well, it sounds like we had a good time. Now what we need to hear from you is, as you've been listening here, what do you pick up, or do you pick up any common themes that seem to flow through everyone? Beth? Rich?
Well, I jotted down a few notes, and everybody mentioned something having to do with the significance of our personal staff, of our staff's personal walk with God. And Rod said that they didn't talk about that, but then when he went on, that's exactly, it was the same thing, because he said, he talked about how the personal walk should be shared, not be too comfortable, and things like that. So it was on every person, the need for a re-emphasis on a personal walk of God for our staff.
Do all of you feel that that came out pretty strongly all the way across the board? What I need to ask, as you think about that, you've discussed it in the groups, what do we do with that? What kind of response do we make to that? If God is saying, let's deal with your personal lives, is it purely an individual response? Is there something that should be done from the USLT level? Is there something that should be done from the divisional level? Is it something that should be done in the regional level? Or is it purely something that we need to take on as individual responsibility? And so what is your thinking about how we respond to God when we're hearing that?
I think one thought on that, Roger, is that in thinking about it today myself, it seems like the need for spiritual personal renewal is an effect, not a cause. And it seemed to be important for us to give thought to what do we feel over the months, over the years, has brought us to that point? Why? What are the causes behind that? Because unless we identify those, I'm not sure we've ever resolved the real issue.
Ron?
John.
Oh, John? Okay. Ken's trying. Ken's shaking his head. Just go ahead.
Is it all right?
I mean, he's shaking his head no. You can just pull up the volume a bit, John.
I don't know how.
Just pull up your own volume.
Oh, put up my own volume. I know how to do that.
Thank you. Man, I've never had two of these. The question, I believe, was, what do we do about it? Was that right, Raj?
That's it.
Well, we being navigators, and so constructed as we are, we follow the leader. We may or may not supposed to, but we do. And I feel that if we would desire to be leaders, we would desire to be elders or deacons, or whatever we desire to be, all we have to do is set the pace and it'll catch on. You'll notice in prayer letters that you received recently two words that have been emerging, shepherding and stewardship. Well, everybody didn't think of those words all at one time. We got them from each other, and then we began to use them in our prayer letters. And I don't think necessarily that God is just going to come down and make us spiritual or make us have time with Him. We learn it from each other. Just like we get the gospel from each other. We got the gospel from an evangelist. Somebody told us. And so if we would desire to set the pace, it'll catch on rather easily in our particular structure particularly.
Okay, thanks, John. Ron?
It's been so refreshing in the times here. I don't know, you ask somebody how many meetings have you sat through in your years with the navigators, but just allowing times for in meetings to share what God's doing in your life. And I know every one of us sitting here has been in numerous meetings where we just were aching to share something that God had done in answer to prayer, or something God had spoken to us about from the Word, but it was directly into the business and directly into the format, and we've got to get through the agenda. I would just like to say amen to your agenda. Maybe we're even a little top heavy on what we're doing this time around, but just giving time for people to share what God's doing in their life. And I think most of our people want to share what they're thinking and what they're believing more than they want to sit and be told a lot of things. And we've got a good balance in this time, but just time to do it.
Good word. Any other thoughts on how we might respond to this kind of thinking? It appears to me we've got three very helpful suggestions. Identify what brought us to a point where we felt this was a need. We may or may not learn something from that. We may discover that it's just that God is saying, I want a new emphasis here. It's not because of declension. It's just I want to do something new. But it seems to me that would be something that would be done with each leadership team, whether it's the field director with his team or the divisional director with his team or whoever. We would seek to discover if among ourselves if there's anything there. So that would be a project for each leadership team to take on. To set the pace, that's personal. That comes down to where we are and things that we need to do. One thing I have discovered in the last couple of years, I make it a point whenever I'm sharing with people outside the normal context I'm in, what, for example, that we spent a couple hours in prayer for the work for one another in our USLT meeting each day. I've had people come and say, you do that? It's as if that's new news to them. It's something that's been going on for a long time, but people don't hear that. And so we need to communicate what is happening, as well as just living it. As you say, John, it's, you tell what's going on. And then Ron's suggestion to ensure that when we have called staff meetings, those of us who are responsible provide some kind of time to allow the kind of sharing that we've been able to enjoy today. Okay, that's helpful. Any other comments? Daryl?
Thank you. One having to do with running alongside of Ron's, I think one effect it could have, Roger, is how we view our roles and our job descriptions. You could say it in such a way that, you know, one of my job description may be to shepherd seven couples. And I may need to think of that as the real cutting edge of my job as a field director. And I know if you share that, you know, if you say what's your job and it's, well, to shepherd seven families, yeah, I know that, but what's your job? You know, the strategy and all the other may need to take a reduced place in terms of what we want from our job descriptions and from our leaders, that the cutting edge really does need to be the shepherding of those families. And I think our tendency, probably with the kind of people we are, we tend to go towards stewardship. When we go out in the ministry, we ask stewardship questions, by and large, more than we asked shepherding questions. So I think it could have some effect all the way down, including the top, that we may need to think more of the relational aspect of our jobs than we do perhaps some of the other aspects.
Okay, this week, of course, one of the things we're trying to get from this group is some clarified sense of what do we view the role of the DD, the FD, the area supervisor, or in cases of special other leadership roles, how do we view that role? And from that, we expect then with supervisors using the role as a guide, they'll help draft individual job descriptions related to your situation. So that's a direction we would hope to be able to come to from our week together. Okay, let's see. Chuck, you want to?
Roger, I have a little uneasy feeling that's kind of just a little caution and warning. Maybe it's unfounded, but I think we need to be careful how we implement this focus. It could very well come as, let's see, this is another thing we're supposed to do now. I mean, our staff are, you know, they're so desirous to do what's expected. And if this isn't carefully and prayerfully implemented, it's going to come down as, let me see, now I've got my fundraising and I've got the ministry and now they want me to get a day or 2 days alone with the Lord every month. I mean, and we could run into some difficulty. So just a little word of caution that needs to be looked at.
Good. You're underscoring a thing on communication, decision-making, and things that we brought out yesterday. Was there another?
Yeah, I want to add balance to that statement, though. I did pick up a couple of comments on the idea of spending 24 hours with God and coming into this, and that is somewhat legislative. But I'm not so sure that's all wrong. It may just be part of exhortation. Ezra 8:21 says, "Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river, that we might humble ourselves before our God, to seek from Him a safe journey for us, our little ones, and all of our possessions." And in verse 23, "So we fasted and sought God concerning this matter, and He listened to our entreaty." And the balance I would add is that obviously we cannot legislate this kind of thing, but there's nothing wrong
in us as the leaders, if what Terry has said is true, that the mantle is passed to us as leaders, there is nothing wrong with us proclaiming and encouraging and exhorting one another to prayer and fasting. And so I just want to add balance to that. I don't think we should just throw it away and say that, you know, we got to model this thing and therefore we can't proclaim it. It'll catch. Well, it will. There's both, I think. And it's very legit. All I'm saying, I think it's very legitimate as leaders that if we felt this was a thing that we ought to do, then we ought to have the courage to do it.
There's a reference on that, Bob?
Ezra 8:21 through 23.
Ray?
When Beth first articulated what she did about what she heard, I did not sense that, you know, what we wanted was to go from here to, as it were, pass it on to our staff as an emphasis. But I would like to affirm what John said. You know, my mind had immediately gone to Luke 11:1. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray." That if whatever we do, you know, if it's that good, then those who are around us are going to say, "Hey, can you show us what you're doing? What is it you're doing?"
Okay, Don?
Yeah, I thought one interesting thing that happened for me is that I don't think we can underestimate the impact that modeling something like this can have. And I was just thinking as you were sharing, you know, Roger, that when I got word of, kind of what it was happening with the USLT when you guys had your time with the Lord, it kind of came through one of our field director meetings, and we were asking the question, you know, what was the impetus behind the reorganization? And there was almost a sense that it was primarily structural, and it was coming because of a decrease in production or whatever. And I just had kind of an uneasiness about that. And then, so as we surfaced that in the meeting, one of the things that Paul immediately brought, just kind of shared, was, you know, the time that you guys had. In the meeting just before we had ours, and that really had an impact on me. And I found myself, impressed me. I mean, in the right sense, it wasn't that I was, you know, I don't think you guys just play tennis, but it was encouraging. And I found myself really thinking about that. And when I went back in a natural way, you know, I shared it with my staff guys, and I had an opportunity to write a couple of the missionaries that are under us, and just to kind of fill them in on the reorganization. And I found what I was beginning to share was an emphasis of what I was feeling was happening. So it really is amazing how that does spread. And there was a sense that as you guys were getting before the Lord, and it sounded like there were some real heart issues surfacing in the confession. And I mean, that really encouraged me. And so, you know, as I was thinking about this, it seems like one of the things that we can do, I've already thought about this in our area, just how can we do this? You know, you can't mandate it. I think we can exhort, and both by our lifestyle and by our words. But an idea I had is that to really work at creating an environment where the Holy Spirit can do it. And my thought is that if God is reviving, and if there are things happening that are really across the whole work, then we're not going to have to mandate it. And, you know, as we pray, and as we lead and model and create the right environment, both in our meetings and in our own lives, that the Holy Spirit is going to work. And so, you know, I just wanted to highlight that for you because you probably don't even know that. Yeah. But it really does spread. You know, probably within a week, you know, I didn't purpose to do that, but just the timing was that I had, you know, basically had gotten overseas what was going on. So I really think that's key, and we need to understand that.
Which make me think of 1 Thessalonians 5, quench not the Spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. It's a matter of not just gullibly accepting anything, but taking out and saying, well, this is good. Mm-hmm. Paul, you haven't spoken.
I'll just say that one time a European said to me, well, you know, as I read that impulsive response of Peter, who, when he was up on top of the Mount of Transfiguration with the Lord, wanted to build a booth, he says, Americans are booth builders. They, as soon as they have an experience, they want to write a book, make a seminar, build a booth. And I think that's true. We tend to want to immediately package it, immediately get it out so everyone can. And I think it comes from a beautiful thing in us. We want to share with it. Like someone says, it's a good thing the Navigator started in America, because as Herb Dernbol said, if it started in Holland, it'd still be in Holland. But it's no one but Americans that have the audacity, when they take a sip of Pepsi Cola, say, now the world, that happens. And so we have this desire to move with it, to get it going, package it, get it out. And we're known around the world for that, and that's great. But I think what I'd like to do is commend us at this point to just have an experience with God on the hill and not try to build a booth. Let's just let God be God and deal with us. And if our if they come down and our staff see the radiance of our faces, that they might too seek to go up to the mountain and enjoy the Lord. And I just wanted to say, it's a holy thing that's happening. And it's a precious thing. And I think it's happening. People are picking up on it. And it just, let it just keep happening. I just want to say, let's caution. Don't try to package it. Let's do what God, if God would want you to do something in your area, do it. If the Spirit of God is moving you, do it. And I think that's what's really a beautiful thing. And we ought not to tamper with it. And I think as I get out now, and I just see that one of the things that's greatly needed, when Jesus in Mark 6 went to his hometown, and he could do very few things. And it says he could not do any miracles there except lay hands on a few sick people and heal them. And he was amazed at their lack of faith. And I think to myself, how many stories do you hear of, you know, God moving because of the faith of people? I think that's what we really need. We need to rekindle that faith again. You know, that we see God just doing great things. And I see a thread coming through here of trusting in the power of God, trusting in the Spirit of God. Let's see God, you know, let's get behind and follow Him. And so I really feel that there is somewhat of a thread. It's hard to describe and put it all together, but we all sense it. And it's almost good we can't express it. And maybe it'll just be expressed in our lives, not so much verbally. And maybe the Lord has not given us enough a way to express it yet until He's ready at the right moment.
What I'd like to do at this point, Gene, would you give Paul Drake the mic? And from what we've heard, Paul, would you just ask God to direct us as a people and to work out through us that which is on His heart?
That people may see and know that the hand of the Lord hath done this. Father, You're the only one that's worthy of honor and praise and glory. We read from Your Word. We've read from others who have studied Your Word, that nothing happens in Your kingdom except it has a foundation of prayer, that You only work on that foundation. And I thank You, Lord, for laying on the heart of staff man who shared with me a year ago. He said, I think that we have become too mechanical. As navigators, we become somewhat proud
thinking that we have a special handle on God's instruction. And he said, I'm praying that God will bring a revival to the staff of the Navigators. And I pray that as Paul has said, that we'll be like Moses. We'll take time to seek you, be instructed by you, and to walk with you. I thank you for the promise in Corinthians as you inspired Paul to write to them, as the living expresses it, but we Christians have no veil over our faces. We can be mirrors that brightly reflect the glory of the Lord. And as the Spirit of the Lord works in us, we become more and more like Him. God grant that that is how people would look at Navigator staff. As people who love God with all their heart, that seek Him with all their heart, that walk with Him, that are instructed by You, Lord, and that You can work through to reveal Your glory. I pray that You would do a new work in my heart, that it just won't be the status quo. And I pray especially that You'd give me a new and a deeper love for people. That my satisfaction won't be in the ministry per se, or just in getting into the Word, but my satisfaction will come in the depth of a relationship with You and the love that You lay on my heart for those that You give me the privilege of coming in contact with and co-laboring with and then ministering to. We thank You that even though when we're too weak to have any faith left, that You remain faithful and will help us, because You cannot deny we who are a part of Yourself. We want to be identified, God, as Your people. We want to be identified as ones who know You, ones who love You, and as a result, love others. And I pray that this thing that the world has caught up about, Americans, that when we get something as good, we do want the world to have it. And that You'll lay on our hearts that this won't be something that just happens to the U.S. Navigator staff, but it'll happen throughout our land. And it will be something that is glorious and precious enough that we'll do whatever is necessary to see that the rest of the world sees and hears and knows that there is a God and that He is alive. And He does respond to those that seek Him. And that there is an answer to life. And that answer is found in Jesus Christ. Thank You for what You're doing, Lord. Help us not to put up barriers that would hinder You from doing all that You want to do in pouring out Your grace and Your blessing upon us, so that we'll not only receive a blessing, but we might be vessels that You can work through to be a blessing, even to the uttermost part of the earth. For Your glory, Lord, we ask it. In the powerful, matchless name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
It's almost too much to move on to something else. Were there any other themes that you picked up this, I think, clearly. The need is simply a personal focus on the Lord. Did you pick up anything else from the sharing? Norm?
Maybe I can speak loud enough for that microphone. I was trying as I was in and wrote these things down to look over and see if I could see a common thread. And there, it reminded me of a study that Paul took all the Eastern FDs through at our first meeting. And it's called Faith, Availability, and Sacrifice. As I looked through all these, I categorized the group almost under those three banners. Most of these suggestions. And in terms of just communicating beyond this point to others, if we go back into our areas and share things that we have discovered during not only our own personal time and our discussions, that it makes, to me, a very clear way to communicate the area of, that we've discussed. You think of prayer, the work of faith, prayer, mentioned sacrifice, our lifestyle, materialism, too comfortable. Bob mentioned an impact on the world, an outreach to the world, availability, and sacrifice as well. So there seem to be, in my mind, boiled down to three major avenues of faith, availability, and sacrifice. One of the things that's encouraged me to do, I thought about that, is not only model this time alone with God, but I can encourage it by some exhortation, but also maybe even to have, over the next months ahead, to have my staff do some serious study in the area of faith, availability, and sacrifice as he comes out of that.
Would, as I listen, Norm, one of the questions that comes to mind, again, I'm trying to think, is it more a personal issue like availability? Are we thinking in terms of our availability to staff, our availability to God, wherever He wants to place us? When we're thinking of sacrifice, are we thinking of our personal sacrifice, or maybe as a U.S. work, the sacrifice of people to get the gospel out? Or I'm just trying to ask for clarification, really, and some others that have been in with you on that may help. Harv, did you start to say something?
I just said yes. I would say all of the above, really. As I think of ourselves, it would require all three as we hear how to be responsible for our God. We challenge in the period. And you think of even the role of shepherd, which is very important. Key topic for us. That does require all three of those. It certainly requires sacrifice and availability to do that. So I really think it's a broad brush stroke on a number of areas to kind of maybe get an umbrella to discuss it.
Any others? Would any of you want to respond to the idea of these three key words? Does that seem to capture for you what's in here? Are there, have we missed anything? Are we trying to include too much in it? Joyce?
It seems to me that one of the most dynamic aspects that has been coming out in most of the groups is the focus on God Himself. And I would urge us not to miss that by focusing on so much on our part, but on God Himself. And I think of the word faith, I think of my part in turning to God, rather than of God's holiness and His majesty and what He wants to do for me. So that's the only comment I want to make, that we not lose that aspect of God and what he wants to reveal of himself to us. I believe this is something very significant in our midst at the moment.
Dave Johnson, right next to you, Joyce.
I think as we've emphasized to renewal and revival, that God is doing that work in our midst, but with the emphasis also on focusing on God, he's doing it among many others. And I just picked up from one of the first comments here, a need to manifest to an outreach to the nations, and a concern for the kingdom view, also that God is doing a work in our midst, much bigger than even the Navigators itself, very healthy. I can't quite articulate it, but it seems that that also is undermining what God is seeking to say to us.
It is interesting. Terry mentioned, I think, I forget which message, that as he's interacted with a variety of leaders, Leroy mentioned as he's interacted with a variety of people outside the Navigators, everywhere one of the concerns seems to be a praying for genuine renewal and revival among the people of God. So it very well could be something much beyond that God is just doing. Chuck?
I listed, as I listened to these being named, I thought godliness, shepherding, and waiting on God were three of the strands that came through. And I appreciate what Norm has shared. And I think that those three, faith, availability, and sacrifice, do capture a number of things that have been said. I think if we're ready to boil it down to some certain words, we want to weigh those kind of carefully, because they happen to have a way of that being what is communicated. And we don't always have an opportunity to give the explanation underneath. So I don't know if we're ready for that stage or not, but just thought I'd mention that.
Okay, good. I think the one thing that's come through loud and clear is just our personal walk and whatever's related to that. I think Joyce's word was a good one, in that when we were talking about personal walk, there were a lot of things related to a focus on God, and so we probably need to keep that dual focus there, not just what we do, but ensure that we're exalting the Lord in our interaction. It appears to me then that we're not trying to come to a definitive statement. I see Lauren wants to say something. But we've identified some things that we can take at each level and work with, but there is a primary focus for us personally in our response to the Lord in this. Lauren?
It will keep. If you're one more on to something else.
Go ahead.
Just a thought. It's not possible to have faith in God without a word from God. And having gotten a word from God, it's helpful to me at least if we, each individually, could tie that word to some particular scripture. Then you can take that with you. I think of three scriptures, at least for me, as I've listened. One is John 15:7. If you abide in me, that's what we're talking about, and my words abide in you, ask what you will, and it shall be done. And then another one could be Romans 15:14, where he talks about goodness, knowledge, and ability to admonish. Character, knowledge of God, and the ability to share. And then on the shepherding, the Psalm 78:72, which I think has a superb balance in what shepherding is. But that just happened to be for me, and I simply mention this to encourage others, that whatever God has said, if it crystallizes in some passage for you, at least for me, that's a good way to take it home.
Thank you. Beth?
Some mention
to outreach that we needed to still be concerned. One was
what she said was four of the six presentations had some mention of outreach.
One had to do with personal evangelism. Another one had to do with relying on God's power, not methods, which would pertain to our outreach. Another one has stated creating an environment for a consuming vision. And then the last one was a lifestyle of dependence that related also to outreach. Hmm. So there were actually, there were four there.
I think it would be good to note that we never receive except for the purpose of being God's vessel and instrument, and want to note the outreach theme that Beth has highlighted for us. At this point, I think we've covered, if I've picked up what's going on here, the major things that have come through. I think it's been certainly encouraging. And we'll try to put together a little brief summary to hand back to you to take with you from this time tomorrow.